happens. Really random things happen to you. And I tell you a thing that happened to me. When I was 19, I went on mission. Now, I grew up in a Christian family. When I was about 14, 15, I kind of didn't really understand what church was about. I went to church on a Sunday, and I lived my own life the rest of the week. But at 19, I kind of thought, I kind of had this Christian kind of thing about me, but the rest of my life, I did my own thing. And so when I was at 19, I ended up, I finished college, and I had a long summer, and I got into university, which is a miracle. It's funny, God will work in your life even when you may not be working in God, when you may be walking away. It's funny how God is with you when sometimes you're not with God, and how he blesses you even though your face is turned against you, against him. Anyway, God blessed me and opened the door to university, which was amazing. But so I had this long summer, so I thought, I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to go off and do something. And little to my, I never knew, it would change my life. But 19, I went to South America on a three-week mission trip. And it was a pivotal moment in my life where I changed, everything changed. I suddenly realized what the gospel was about, working in the streets of this slum area in Ecuador and these little kids who had nothing. And I suddenly had this revelation. Jesus sat next to me. I'd been in meetings, you know, I'd been to conferences, and suddenly there I was in this slum, and I met Jesus for the first time. It's funny, isn't it? You know, I had that visual kind of revelation. So we were coming to the end of the trip. And we had a big bus, a big coach that was going to pick our team up, about 30 of us, and all different ages, mainly young people, but all different ages. And we put all our luggage, our big suitcases, and we tried to get them. And on a bus, you have them that go underneath, don't you, underneath the seats? But we couldn't fit all our suitcases on, so we ended up putting quite a few of the suitcases on the top of the bus. And we were all saying goodbye, and it was all quite tearful, and the people we'd met and the people that got saved were come to say goodbye to us. And so we hadn't really noticed all the bags being put on, and hopefully they were being tied on by rope by the bus driver. So we're driving along. Now, some of you know this, if you've lived in other nations, other countries. Actually, our nation is getting it because potholes. We seem to have, you know, potholes is a big thing. But in Ecuador, their road structure... I'm sure you know this, in other nations, can get quite big. And you'd be driving along and you see this pothole and you kind of avoid it. Now, we were going down the main highway of Ecuador to the airport, and ever so often you'd hear a... And you... Oh! And, we didn't take much notice of it. And, but we got to the... We're driving along, and we're at the back of the coach where I was sitting, and suddenly, bang! And I thought, oh boy, what was that? And we look behind, and we suddenly realise we hit a big pothole, and one of the suitcases had fallen off onto the highway. And we were driving away. Anyway, so we're thinking, oh no, one of the people in our group has lost their suitcase, all their belongings, all of the mementos, all the things that they're bought to take home, their gifts. So we're shouting to the bus driver, stop the bus, pull over. Anyway, he speaks Spanish. So he's driving there and he's waving, hola, no, stop the bus, hola. Anyway, he realizes what's going on. So he starts to pull over. Now, most people, you know, you think in London, you take a look for a nice place to pull over and do a three-point turn. It's a big bus. In Ecuador, they didn't. He just pulled over, did a three-point turn in the main highway, all this traffic building up. And we get back to where the suitcase should have been. But guess what happened? While we were turning round, a car in the other direction had stopped. The door had opened, a hand had come out and pulled the suitcase into the car and shut the door and driven off. Luckily, someone had seen what had happened. And so they told the bus driver what had happened. And the bus driver thought, right, I'm not having this. These are visitors to my country. I'm not having them stealing one of my suitcases. And suddenly, we found ourselves in a high-speed pursuit down the main highway of Ecuador. Doing this, we're hanging on, we're praying. You know, it really builds your faith, doesn't it? Have you seen those police camera stop adverts, you know, or the programs? And he's doing this, and he's bibbing, and he's cutting people up. Now, he must have known which car, what colour, what registration, because I don't know who it was. Suddenly, we caught up to this car that he knew that had the suitcase, or we thought he knew had the suitcase. And he pulled over. Now, have you seen how the police, if they're in a pursuit, the police will come up, overtake, and they will block, and they do a kind of skid, and they block. Have you seen it in the movies? He did that. He just came up to me, put the handbrake turn, skidded the bus, blocked the whole highway. We're like, oh, no, we're praying, Lord, please, he's not here. We've got so much more to life to live. So anyway, so we stop, and we get out of the car. So the man in the vehicle says, I haven't, it's not me. So our party leader, he said, okay, all the fellas, all the guys, get off the bus. We're going to intimidate this man. It's like, lovely Christian thing to do. So I stayed on the bus. I wasn't getting involved. I want a big fight going on, you know. In the end, we had to give money over to this man to get the suitcase back. We got the suitcase back, and we got to the airport, and we got our flight. But that, you know, it was just life. Life just seems to happen, doesn't it? And the story that I want to talk to you about, the man that I want to talk to you this morning about, is Joseph. Joseph, we all know the story. You know the story with in Genesis, if you want to read it. It's a long story in Genesis. Starts with Genesis 37. Now, I do have a PowerPoint presentation, but who knows what's going to happen today. So what I'm going to do is just think what we're going to do. I've got a couple of things in my head we could do this morning while we're waiting for this. How long do you think, Graham?
I know it's a piece of strength.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so this is really difficult because I'm trying to use the presentation. Okay,
let's pray for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Lord, we just thank you for Nick. Lord, we don't want him to be thrown by this morning, but we're thrown anyway. And Lord, I just pray that you'd give him wisdom.
Yeah.
And that you would just take away any sense that he has to perform, and he has to get this right. I pray, Lord, that you would just come alongside him because we're friends here together. And Lord, we know that you've got stuff in his heart for the way he's shared already. And Lord, I pray that you just increase the anointing and that he will only do the things he sees the Father doing, because Jesus only does the things he sees the Father doing. Lord, I pray you just relax into this. Lord, it's not an easy situation for any of us this morning, but we didn't know this was going to happen. So Lord, I just pray that we just want to enjoy your presence.
Yeah, amen.
We just want to enjoy your presence, Lord. And Lord, what he's going to say about Joseph, Lord, just may he just say it from his heart. Lord, what's in here is more important than what's in that machine. Because what's in here can come out now, and that stuff that's in the machine can't.
Yeah.
So, Lord, I pray you just help him to relax, give him a sense of your peace, a sense of your spirit. Mm. And, Lord, I pray that we as a church would just come around to him and say, Lord, we want to hear what you've got to say through Nick this morning, because we believe it's important. And, Lord, things are going wrong, but we can still worship. We can still praise. We can still receive from you. Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Let's just lift. Mm. Let's lift Nick. Just reach our hands towards Nick and just pray out for him this morning, because we're in this together. Amen. Lord, I pray that you would just be with Nick now, be with Graham as he tries to put things right, and the others who are trying to put things right. George and others, and Karis, and we thank you that everybody's doing their best. Mm. And Lord, this is not anybody's fault. This is just Satan having a go. And Lord, we just thank you for all the testimonies that remind us that Satan didn't have a victory in our lives this week, because there were things that we could testify to where you've blessed us. And Lord, I believe this morning's going to be a blessing. Mm. And we're going to come out the other side of it in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Just let's just lift our voices. Everybody just lift their voices towards heaven together. Your prayer language, whatever language you have in the spirit, just bring it to the Lord right now.
You're not on trial.
Thank you. Talk to them as if you were talking to your father. Yeah. You've got their hearts through your story anyway, and the passion that you're through.
Thank you. Well, I think it's a great illustration of what I'm trying to say in some ways. Joseph, do you know the story of Joseph?
Yeah.
Joseph is a very famous story. We've had theatre productions, we've had cartoons made, we've had stories, we've had illustrations. What I want to talk to you a little bit about Joseph. We're in a minute, if the PowerPoint presentation, we can run through his story. And it's a lovely, I found it on the web, and it was a really nice story. It was a very, very short presentation and just gives an overview of Joseph. One of the things I see with Joseph's life, he walks in his life and things happen. It doesn't go, I mean, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things about business that we have to say, or our lives. You know those personal trainers? Where are you going to be in 5 years' time? Where are you going to be in 10 years' time? What do you want to succeed in your life? And when we read when we see the story of Joseph, is a man just getting on with life, having a relationship with God, and being just always faithful to his relationship with God. They've got a few little points here about Joseph. I mean, he was loved by his father. He was a favourite. He was the youngest son of Rachel. But he was hated by his brothers. God speaks to him, but not directly. He speaks to him in dreams. He gets put into a pit, and he gets sold into slavery. He has false accusations about him, and because of those false accusations, he gets put into prison. And from prison, he becomes one of the most powerful people in Egypt. A story of winding all over the place. And that's really, I wanted to say to you that today is that there's a couple of points. And I'm going to start off with, I think what we're going to do is I'll do a couple of points, then we'll stop and we're going to have worship, and then I'll come back and finish, give us another few points. So, the first point is, God was with him. God was with him. You know when life, when life and things happen to you and you think, oh, have I done something wrong? Have I sinned today? What have I done? This just hasn't gone right. My meeting's been cancelled. I'm late. Family's problems. Things are happening. This morning I want to say, God is with you.
Amen.
God is with you. God has got a heart for you. You know, we can beat ourselves up, can't we? We can listen to the lies that the enemy will give you. We can say, oh, Lord, the enemy will get you into law. He will get you into those things. You haven't done that. You haven't done that because the blessing is gone away. But actually, God is with you. God is so much with you that day Christ died. That Christ died for the righteous and unrighteous. You do not have to be a perfect person to follow Jesus, do you? Actually, you need to recognize that actually, all the good stuff and all the bad stuff, that's who I am. God is with you this morning. Joseph went along with his life. Things happened to him. You know, the first thing that happened to him, you can imagine him having this amazing vision dream. And that he goes and tells his brothers about this vision dream, that this story of the sheaves of corn bowing down, and the stars and the planets bowing down to. And they would kind of think, well, who are you? Why do you think these things are going to bow down to you? And you can see jealousy kicking in. You can see why they were jealous. And you can just imagine, really, Joseph was just a young man, a young person thinking, have an amazing dream, and just telling people, oh, Greg, guess what happened to me? Guess that dream last night. Maybe he said it in the wrong way, but he was just telling them the story. How many times have we got excited about something and we've said something and people have taken it the wrong way? And something's happened to us. You think, well, what have I done? And because of that, Joseph was, they nearly wanted to kill him. They put him in a pit. They found himself in a pit just because he told this story, because of the relationship that he had with his father. You know, stuff happens. But this morning I want to say, God is with you. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. God is with you. And it just leads open to the next point, is that Joseph had some hard times. Guys, you know exams, and you're sitting there and you're thinking, oh, I've got to study this thing. And you go through this like, oh, I hate exams. I've just been on a course last week and it was really, really intensive. And we had exams every day. We had to have multiple choice assessments every day. And then on Friday, we had this a computer exam on a computer. And it was just like, and I sat there in the lesson. And there was a few times I thought, oh Lord, this is hard. This is really hard. But you know, sometimes out of those hard times, your heart changes. I look back over my life and on my ministry or whatever, my things that have happened to me. And you know where the things that have happened to me are the most significant things are times of the hardest points of my life. I was at Edmonton Baptist Church and we went through a massive transition in the church. The pastor had been there for 26 years. And when he asked me to join the church, I didn't realise that he was retiring in a year's time. So I came to a church that had been in a very, very stable position. And suddenly John said, I'm going to retire. He got to that retirement and he said, I'm going to leave in a year's time. My colleague Andy had just joined the church a few years before me, so we were quite brand new to the church. And we went through a massive time of transition. And when suddenly the church went through that, there was a lot of things that happened, good things, but also bad things. But I remember coming home usually after meetings or leadership meetings, and I thought, Lord, this is really hard. But you know, there's something that's taught me in those times of hard places, has taught me where I get my strength from. It's taught me where I rely on. It's taught me to run towards God, not run away. It's taught me those things where actually in those hard times where my heart has been tuned and you know, it's taught me those times where I've really taken strength from God. Joseph must have gone through those hard times. What was he thinking when his brothers, he thought they loved him, beat him up, stuck him in a pit, sold him to slavery? What do you think was going through his mind? What do you think? How would you feel if your brothers, the people that you think would love you and support you, suddenly rejected you and got rid of you and wanted to kill you, sold you into slavery? Something must have happened to Joseph in those times. Joseph is falsely accused. Have you ever been told that you've done something wrong, or you've been told that actually it's your fault, when you know it's not your fault? And you've done the right thing, and you've done the right thing, and yet from doing the right thing, from following the right path, you've been put into prison. You have been put into a place of chains. And you think, well, how, Lord, I prayed those prayers. Lord, I've tried to do this. I've done that relationship. I've spoken to that person. I've done that procedure. But somehow, by doing that, I've ended myself in prison. And Joseph did that. He did the right thing. In Potiphar's house, in this man that had been sold into slavery, he looked after the house And his wife Potiphar accused him because she wanted him to do something that he didn't want to do. And he ran away. He went in the right direction. And yet because of that, he found himself in prison. Have we ever found like that? I know that I have. When you feel you've done the right thing and you follow God's thing and you follow God in that situation. Be encouraged then. Be encouraged. I'm going to finish now and we're going to move into. So we've just have some points really and then we can use it as our worship. Maybe you're here this morning and you're going through a really hard time. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in prison because you've done the right thing. Maybe when we come to this time of worship, maybe it's time of prayer. Maybe it's time to say, actually, Lord, you've been fighting with God. And you're saying, actually, God, I've been thinking this the wrong way. This is not your will. But actually, maybe this is part of God's will in your life. Maybe this is part of God's will that you need just to go through this hard time, this shaping time, this time where you need your heart to be chiseled or sandpapered. You're taking the shape. God's doing with you. And as we take a time of worship and giving that back to God, giving that back to Jesus, giving that back and saying, actually, Lord, I'm not going to struggle with this. I'm going to let you deal with this. I'm going to let you deal with this prison. I'm going to let you deal with this hard time. I'm going to let you deal with these things that are going to happen at school where I'm not getting on with a teacher or I'm not getting on with someone. I'm going to let you deal with those things. Maybe there's things at work. You're not. Something's happening when you feel that you're right, you're doing the right procedures, and yet there's somebody always putting things on you. There's always things that you're getting locked down for. Is God teaching you something? Is God speaking to you about those things? And you're thinking, well, this is a punishment or I'm sinning, but actually this is part of God's purpose. And Joseph, you know, Joseph had to go through those things in some ways because God was leading him to become the second most powerful person in Egypt. So, do you know, probably God's going to really move today. You have it all presented in your head, don't you? And then one thing goes and he just throws you. So we've looked at Joseph a little bit and we've known that God is with him. We've seen God is with him even in the hard times and the good times, when he was in the pit, when God in prison. Let's just think about the prison. So he finds himself in prison, and he finds himself with two other prisoners. Now these two other prisoners were very significant in the royal, in the Pharaoh's court, like a king, and he meets them and they have a dream, and Joseph interprets the dream of the other prisoners, and he says to them, and they're released back to Pharaoh, and he says, would you remember me to Pharaoh? And they forget, so he's still in prison. And hello, how are you? You've reminded me to turn that on. That's it. I can hear. You okay? What's your name? Okay. Where'd you come from? Okay, brilliant. We're going to carry on? You're going to stay here? You're going to... Okay. Why don't you come with me? So he's in prison, and... for 2 years, Joseph sees opportunity wherever he is. He doesn't just curl up in a corner and just say, my life is over. He meets these two other prisoners and they're worried about their dreams, they're worried about their life, and Joseph brings revelation to them. And he sees opportunity wherever he is. Even though he's been put into prison for a crime that he didn't commit. How many of us, when we get into that point, we shut off, we close up, You know, something happens at school, and we, or something happens with the family, and we close up. Joseph is open to opportunities wherever he is. Whether he's a slave in prison, or whether he was, when he becomes the most second most powerful person in the known universe at that time, the known planet, he is open to opportunity. That we must be always open to opportunity. Even when we are in that situation, you're late for a meeting, or you're in that opportunity when something happens and your life is interrupted, I believe we need to think, actually, is God speaking to me now? Is God wanting me to meet someone I wouldn't meet before? How many times have we found ourselves in a situation where we've got to get here, we've got to get here, we've got to get to this meeting because that's what, you know, that's the important thing. We've got to get there to the prayer meeting. We've got to get there. Yes, we will get there, but something happens, an opportunity. You meet someone in the street, something happens, you break down. Something happens in your family, you can't get somewhere. You meet someone, a family member turns up on the doorstep. Something happens and it interrupts your life. I'm sure Joseph didn't want to be in prison. There was opportunities within prison. Keep open to all opportunities that you have around you. This morning has been very random, hasn't it? I like Paul. Paul is, I know in a situation, if it's going to be random, I want Paul around. Because I know that he's seen it all and done it all. And he's not fazed by it. And you look at Joseph's life, and you see the events. Now, we've had this lovely PowerPoint presentation. We would have seen all these bits of his life, but don't worry. There doesn't seem to be purpose to what is happening to his life. There doesn't seem to be any kind of things that are going on. You know, like, is he a slave one moment? Then he gets promoted and he's running the whole household. Then suddenly he's in prison. There seems to be all these random events that are happening. Do you find that about your life? I know I do. Suddenly I'm here at your church, brilliant, thank you for inviting, and suddenly the computer goes wrong, you know, your musicians aren't here. You know, it's just a really random thing that's going on. It's like, and then suddenly Graham says to me, right, I was expecting at least 20 minutes of maybe a few songs. He said, right, get up, you're on. It's like, random, just a random event. My life is full of random events. You know, if you've done management, they teach you, you've got to have strategies and things like that. And, you know, you have, which are great, 5-year plans. You want to know, you know, youth work, youth ministry. You've got to have a know where you want to go and what you want to teach young people. But I just think life is random, but I think God's in control. Amen. Life is random, but God's in control. And God had a plan with Joseph. He knew where Joseph was going. He knew what things were happening. And I think those random events can be the most significant points in your life. I look back at my life and I see the little things that I thought were completely random. I tell you an example, an illustration of... I was working with a ministry called Youth for Christ, and we were a schools-based ministry, youth work ministry. We'd do lessons like RE lessons. We would do PSE lessons. We'd go in and do assemblies, and we would go and do lunchtime clubs. And at the time, I did it for about four or five years, and I felt God was speaking to me about education and training and Bible college. I had no idea where or when. At the same time, I had a friend that came over from America. She was English, been working in America, working, and she came over to visit me and visit the family. And we had a mutual friend at a Bible college. One evening that week, we just said, let's go and visit our friend at a Bible college in Hertfordshire. I had no intention of going to this college. I had no intention of applying to this Bible college. I knew about it, but that was it. So this was a completely random event that we had ended up just on the cuff, thought that came, let's go and visit our friend. We went up to visit the Bible college and I walked through the front door and God spoke to me. This is where I want you to come. How, what happened if I hadn't decided to go? I don't know. But a completely random thing changed the direction of my life by walking in. Suddenly I applied it. And within 6 months, I was at this college for 2 years studying And to me, I suppose I was just open to opportunity. Joseph was open to opportunity. His life was random, but God was in control. The other thing I read when I read Joseph's story is, please go away today or this week, read Joseph's story, just read it as a story. One of the things that comes across is that he's not affected by the events. His relationship with God is not affected, that he's faithful to his father, he's faithful to God. He's not affected by, so he doesn't go into one, oh, God doesn't this or does that, and then, oh, God is with me, oh, God is not. He just gets on with his life. And by just getting on with his life, God seems to bless him and look after him. You know, when he's in that really hard place and he's really annoyed, he could be really annoyed, he just gets on with life. He picks himself up and gets on with life. And I know that I'm very bad at that. Sometimes I just think, God, why am I here? What, Lord, why isn't the computer working this morning? You know, why haven't the musicians turned up? You know, you get annoyed. We just get on with it, don't we? We can, our emotions can affect in our events around us. We think, oh, you know, one day this, one day that. But Joseph just gets on with it. He just gets on with it. When he's found he's a slave in Potiphar's house, he could have been a really bad slave. But actually, he was a really good slave. So much to the point where God blesses him, he becomes the top person, very important in that household, looking after this family, very important family. In prison, he's blessed. He gets to the point where he's known in the prison about dreams. He looks at opportunity always, just gets on with it, makes the best of a situation. And then you get to that point. Then you get to that point where one day he meets number one person in the country. He meets the queen. It's like meeting the queen. He meets the pharaoh, the top person. And all those things that have been building up to this moment, this one day, has all come to a point where he interprets this dream of the pharaoh and tells the pharaoh what it means. And that one day changes his life. Suddenly, he becomes number two in the superpower of the time. Like meeting, going to America, and suddenly the president of the United States makes you the most powerful, second most powerful person in that country. And yet, the day yesterday, he was just a prisoner. He was a nobody. And then we have the lovely story of his brothers that tried to kill him, who tried to get rid of him, who wanted to say, oh, you're horrible, you're nobody, come back. And he meets them. And he pretends to be someone else. He disguises himself. But as the story goes on, he reveals who he is and he brings the family back and blesses them. He could have said no, he could have cursed them, but no, he has a different heart, doesn't he? His heart is to bless his family. Now, I have a little illustration. I've completely, my notes, everything, as Paul just said to me, go with what you want. I've had all these little things I was going to do, all these little things that I had planned, but I haven't done any of them. But this one, I think, illustrates it, and it's really, I just want to illustrate. It's a lovely little visual illustration, and I need some help. I need some help for children. So I need some children to come and help me. Could you come and help me do this little illustration? Come on. We need a few more. Who are you?
Miriam.
Miriam. Okay, if you stand over here. I like your shoes. Oh, great. Who are you?
Michelle.
Do you want to stand over here? I need a few more. What about these people? Oh, look at this. Oh, hello. Who are you?
Me.
Me? Is that your name? Really? What a great name. Who are you?
Who are you today?
What's your name?
Saya.
Oh, hello. What's your name? What's her name?
My baby's name is Titting or Pat.
Oh, hello. Very good. Now, this could be... How many got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think I need 7. We got 2 more. We need some boys. We got the girls. Where are the boys? Oh, here we go. Here we go. Hey! Look at that. What's your name? What's your name? Okay, I didn't hear that. And who we got?
And
Treya, come in. Excellent. Okay, you can come first. Okay, now what we're going to do is we're going to illustration. Now remember that Joseph, he blessed a lot of people because what he did was he was very good. And what he said was there was going to be a famine in the land. That's no food. And so what he did in the good years, he stored up all the grain. And then in the bad years, in the famine times, he said, people came to him and said, you can have some food. And so he saved a lot of people. And this is a little illustration of what we're going to do. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a little bit about flags and people and nations, okay? So just to illustrate this point. So if you put your hand in there and you should pick a flag, just one, and hold it up. Okay, if you hold it up, we'll find out what that flag is. Is anybody good at flags here? Who knows where that's from? Very good, the Netherlands. So you come and stand over here. Okay, who's next? Put your hand in there. Pick what flag. Okay, hold it up so we can see. Oh, dear, upside down. Hold it up. Who's where? What country's from this? I think we've got someone from here, I've heard. Where's it from?
America,
the United States of America. How many states are there in America? 50? 51, okay. I had an argument so about it recently. Okay, right, just one. Hold it up so we can see. Now, what's this one? Hold it up high. Where's this one? The United Kingdom, very good. Thank you, Paul. Who's from the United Kingdom? Yep, excellent. Right, put your hand in. Okay, hold it up so we can see. Everybody can see. Turn it round. Hold it like this way because they can't see.
Norway.
Is it not? I think it's Norway. Yeah, it's Norway, isn't it? Brilliant. Okay, go to the other end of the queue. Not you. This one. You go to the other end of the queue. Over there. Sit, stand in the queue because we've got to do this in a minute. Okay. Do you want to hold? Take one. Okay, hold it up. You can help in a minute. Where's this?
Canada.
Who's been to Canada? Oh, quite a few of you. Okay, go to the end of the queue. Okay. What we got there? Okay. Do we help you in a minute? Okay, hold it up so they can see. Be in a minute. Oh, it's all going on now, isn't it? Right, hold it up so we can see. That way. Japan. Who? Anybody's been to Japan? Oh, quite a few. There's a few, 3. Okay, so, as we can see, all different nations, all different people all around the world, okay? So what I want you to do is put them back. That's it, put them back. There's your paper. Put them back, and you go back to your seats. Put them back. Okay, you stay here, you go back. Go back, that's it, okay. Right, now we were talking about Joseph, and we were talking the fact that he blessed a lot of people from all over the world. They came to him, different nations and different people. And you know what this reminds me of? This is a story, reminds me of what Jesus did. That Jesus saved different people. Now, I wonder which country, out of all those flags, God loves the best. I'm not going to answer that. You are. So who hasn't pulled out a flag? So in a minute, I want you to put your hand in, and we're going to find out which one God loved the best, okay? So, pull it out. What's happened? What's happened? It's all come together.
Yeah.
Go back to your seats. And this is just to remind you. Go back to your seats. Go back to your... This is just to remind you. When you see flags and you think of the story of Joseph, is that Joseph is a great... It's a sort of story that goes before it. It's the kind of echo of what Christ came to do. It's an echo that Joseph blessed and saved many nations because of what he did. And so when you see flags, you remember there's a verse, isn't it? Very famous verse, John 3:16, that I imagine that all of us know in this room, that I've gone and forgotten it on my head. John 3:16, that God sent his son to save all people. Doesn't matter what nation you are from. Doesn't matter what language you speak. Doesn't matter how old or young you are. Doesn't matter whether you are female or male. Doesn't matter if you're educated or not educated. That Joseph gave that food, he stored that food that people could eat, like his family. All the different nations came to Egypt. Christ does the same thing for all nations. So let's have a recap, and then I'll hand back to Paul. So there's 4 points here. God is with you. God with Joseph. You may go through hard times. God is with you. You may go through good times. God is with you. But be open to those opportunities, whether you're in a good situation or a bad situation. Be open to what God is doing to you. Be open to those opportunities. Life may feel like it's random. Life may feel like, Lord, I just don't know where I'm going. But actually, there is a point. There is a point. You are called, that you have been, have a destiny, have a calling over you, each of our lives. And that, do not be affected. Try not to be affected by those things around you. Try and stay true and faithful to the Father as he is true and faithful to you. Let me pray, and we're going to carry on. So Lord Jesus, we thank you for this morning. Lord, it's been a really random morning, Lord, with all different things happening and going wrong. But Lord, I pray that actually maybe that's part of what you want to speak to us this morning about. Amen. That, Lord, that life is not A, B, C, D. Lord, life is all different colours and shapes and sizes and directions. And Lord, I pray this morning, if people are here this morning, they're just feeling really discouraged because things haven't worked out the way that hasn't worked out. Lord, I pray that you'll bring blessing and speak to us this morning. Father, thank you that you are a God that doesn't depend on whether we feel great in the morning or bad in the morning. Lord, that you are with us whatever we do and wherever we go. Lord, I thank you that you use someone like me. That, Lord, that you would use someone that often gets it wrong. But, Lord, that you speak through me and you speak through us. Lord, thank you for this morning. In your name, amen.